This message is presented to you by Pastor David Lambert and Exceed Life Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia. For more information, visit exceedlifechurch.org.
Well, we are in a series called Kingdom Powers. And I'm telling you, there's things that empower the kingdom of light, and there's things that empower the kingdom of darkness. And hopefully we're walking in what empowers the kingdom of light. Amen. Humility, generosity, amen, faith, amen. And last week I talked about rest, amen. And God wants us resting and not stressing out, amen. And it's easy to stress out, glory to God. And we also talked about healing. It's more powerful than what the devil can do in putting sickness on our lives. So now we're still in the series. I feel inspired to continue the series. And so really, the main scripture we've been focusing on is Matthew 6:33. And Matthew 6:33 says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you." So what that is saying is that we seek God first place in all that we do. How many people are putting God first place in all that you do? Amen? And that's what we want to do. And that's our main text, because we want to walk in the kingdom, and we want to walk in the kingdom in wisdom and power. Amen? And so today we're going to talk about another power force that empowers the kingdom of darkness and empowers the kingdom of light. And we know this, and my title is Foolishness versus Wisdom. Foolishness versus Wisdom. You know, the devil wants you walking in foolishness. Amen. The devil wants you doing foolish things with your life, but God wants you walking in wisdom. Have you ever done anything foolish in your life? Have you ever said anything, done anything? Are you hearing what I'm saying today? Have you done anything foolish with money, maybe? Yeah. Foolish in your relationships? Yeah. Foolish. Amen. We all played the fool every once in a while, haven't we? But we're not going to play the fool anymore. But the devil wants us to be foolish in all that we do. And so if we're going to walk in wisdom, number one, we must understand the importance of time. Because what is the devil, what does he wants us to do? He wants us to waste our time. Is that right? He wants us to burn our time. I'm going to say this: we only have so much time. And you got to make the most of every day. Glory to God. You don't want to waste a day. You don't want to waste an hour. You don't want to waste a single minute. You want God in every day of your lives. And the devil wants us wasting our time. That's why you got, you know, television and movies and all this. I'm not discounting entertainment, but sometimes we can get into entertainment so much that we're edging God out. Amen. And entertainment is not going to build your faith. If winning that video game or getting to that high level in that video game is not going to give you high marks in heaven. Amen. Amen. You might be able to brag to your friends about, "Hey, I got to the next level." But are you getting to the next level in God? That's my question. Are you moving in God, or is the devil trying to distract you? I believe he's trying to distract some of us from being focused on the things of God. So I like what it says in Ephesians 5:15-17. It says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." So we got to understand, what is God's will? God's will is for us to walk out His purpose in our lives. Amen. Do you believe that today? His will is for us to be an influence to those around us, a godly influence. He wants us to be a witness to those that are in darkness, glory to God. And if you're walking in wisdom, people are going to see that. They're going to see that you are governed by the Word of God. Amen? How do we do that? In Ephesians 5, 18 and 14, it says it this way, "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth." Somebody say goodness, righteousness, and truth. And then it says, "Finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things are exposed and made manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore," he says, "awake, you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light." I love that. So we need to be focused on goodness, righteousness, and truth if we're going to walk in wisdom. Amen. And it says here that this is the Apostle Paul, and he's writing to Christians, and he's saying some Christians are asleep at the helm. Some Christians are not pressing in like they need to. And I'm telling you, we don't want to be lulled to sleep by the devil. We don't want the devil to lull us to sleep. We want to be vigilant. The Bible talks about being vigilant or being alert, because your adversary is seeking whom he may devour. So what is the devil trying to do? He's trying to devour some of us. And he's definitely, that's why you don't want to go sleep in church. Amen. Don't fall asleep in church, all right? Because the devil will try to lull you. Well, it's so peaceful, Pastor. Amen. I'm not Mr. Sandman. Glory to God. Give me a dream. And I'm not trying to put you to sleep this morning. Hopefully, I'm keeping you awake. Somebody look at your neighbor and say, "Wake up." Wake up. Amen. We got to wake up. And some Christians are asleep, and they're not vigilant like they need to be, but we're not going to be asleep. Amen? I like what it says in Psalms 90:12. It says, "Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." So we got to realize this, that have you noticed how fast the years go by? Have you noticed that we're almost, Christmas is almost here? It's like you blink your eye and the year is gone. And the older you get, the faster it goes. Is that right? When you're young, it's like, when am I going to get to my, you know, next birthday? But when you get older, you're like, you want the birthdays to stop. That's right. Amen. Because it just keeps going. Time keeps on slipping into the future. Have you ever noticed that? Slipping into the future. Amen. And so we got to make sure that we're gaining a heart of wisdom every day when we're especially in walking with God. I like what it says in Psalms 90, verse 12. We don't have it up here, but it's the easy translation. I'm going to have to get that translation for Steve. It says, "Teach us to count carefully the days of our short lives, then we will be wise in how we live." In other words, this life is short. You are preparing. Somebody say, "I'm preparing." You're preparing for eternity. And so we are in this small sliver of time in our life, and it's a small, the Bible says, James says, it's just a vapor. I mean, think about this. Eternity is like this, and our life is like this. Amen. And this amount of time is what we need to be spending in developing our relationship with God. My question, are you developing your relationship with God? Do you have a relationship with the Lord? Amen. Let me give you a few scriptures in Proverbs that talks about wisdom versus foolishness. And it says here, and the first key, if we're going to walk in wisdom, we must build a godly foundation. You must build a godly foundation. Proverbs 14:1, it says, "The wise woman builds her house, but the foolish pulls it down with her own hands. Think about this. The Amplified puts it this way. The wise woman builds her house on a foundation of godly precepts, and her household thrives. But the foolish one who lacks spiritual insight tears it down with her own hands by ignoring godly principles. Now this is not just for the ladies in the house. You can also, if you're a man, you can put yourself in there as well. Amen? But sometimes the ladies, I find sometimes the ladies are the thermometer in the house. And a lot of times ladies can be more spiritual than men. It shouldn't be that way. Men should be the leader and the spiritual leader in the house. Can I get a amen for the men out here? Amen? But a woman has a lot of influence. And a woman has a lot of influence over her spouse. You know this because it was Eve that caused Adam to fall. Amen? He gave it all away. Amen? And why? Because she ate that forbidden fruit and she gave it to her husband and he ate it too. Amen? She had influence. So ladies, you have influence. Amen? And so you want to build your house on godly principles. Amen? That's powerful. And in Matthew 7:24, Jesus says it this way, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine, first he says, why call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I ask? That's the first thing he says. In other words, if we're going to call Jesus Lord, we need to obey him. Oh, Pastor, did you have to go there this morning? We have to obey Jesus. Say, I'm obeying Jesus. And then he goes on here, he says here in Matthew, he says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them will be likened him to a wise man who builds his house on the rock. And the rain descended and the floods came and the wind blew and beat on that house and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. How many people are founding their lives on the rock of God's word? I'm telling you. And see, the storm will come. The storm is coming to the righteous and to the unrighteous. But you know what? When it comes to us, we will continue to stand in the storms of life because we are founded on a rock. That's why you're here today. Amen. To be founded on the rock of God's word, because the winds are blowing. Have you noticed that lately? Have you encountered any storms in your life? Is it raining on your parade? Is it thundering out there? Amen. But I'm telling you, as you stand on the rock of God's word, you will never fall. Do you believe that today? And then he says here, because then the foolish, see, that's the wise. The wise builds their house on the rock, but the foolish is this way, says, but everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them, that would be the foolish person. They will be like a foolish man who builds his house on the sand, and the rain descended, and the flood came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall. In other words, we don't put our faith and confidence in our finances. Amen? We don't put our faith and confidence on how healthy we are. You might be pretty healthy today. You say, oh man, I have no problems. I'm healthy. But you know what? You need to put your faith and confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. Because the enemy can attack you in your finances. The enemy can attack you in your health. Even putting your faith and trust in other people, put your faith and trust in God first. Put him first place, because people will let you down. They will let you down at times in your life. Have you ever been let down by anybody? you're shaking your head. Yes, Pastor, I've been let down a few times. And there are people out here will let you down, but God will never let you down. Do you believe that today? And then Proverbs 31:30, this is for all the beautiful ladies out there. Just smile at me. Amen? You beautiful ladies. It says here in Proverbs 31:30, Charm is deceitful and beauty is passing. But a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised and honored. That is a powerful scripture for the beautiful ladies. And we have all beautiful ladies in the house today. Glory to God. You don't even need makeup. You look that good. Amen. Hallelujah. Some of you are like, yeah, even an old bar needs a coat of paint every once in a while, right? So I say amen on that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. I have to put a little humility in you today. Amen. Glory to God. Number two, if we're going to walk in godly wisdom, we must walk in godly paths. First, we must build a godly foundation, but we must walk in godly paths. In Proverbs 14:2, contrasting foolishness with wisdom, it says, "He who walks in uprightness fears the Lord, but he who is perverse in his ways despises him." See, what the devil will try to do is get some of us Christians walking on the wild side. Has the devil ever tempted you to walk on the wild side? What am I saying? To just not be disciplined anymore, just to let it go, amen? But be careful. You don't want to walk on the wild side. You can get hurt because that wild side leads you into the wilderness. Amen. And we don't want to be walking in on the wild side. And the devil will try. He tries to use boredom to get us to walk on the wild side. Have you ever been there? As Christians, we shouldn't get bored, because every day we should be about the Father's business. We should be witnessing, praying, seeking God, staying vigilant every day. And when you're focused on the Lord's work, then He will make sure you're taken care of and your back is protected. Do you believe that today? It says here in Proverbs 14:2, the New Living Translation, Proverbs 14:2, New Living Translation, "Those who follow the right path fear the Lord. Those who take the wrong path despise Him." That's pretty strong. That's saying that if we're going against God's word, against His ways, that really we are despising God. Wow, that's powerful. I don't want to go against God. I want God to be with me. I don't want God to be against me. We know that if you're going against God, you're in pride. And if you're in pride, the Bible says that God shuns the prideful, but He lifts up the humble. So I don't know about you, but I want to work with God. I don't want to work against God. Amen. And he says, and so our choices every day of the path we make choices every day on the path that we're going to walk on. And that path we need to choose, that we choose determines the destiny in our lives. You know, every day we have to make a choice. And are we going to walk on the right path of righteousness or on the wayward path of destruction? But I'm going to walk on the right path. And the devil will try to get you to go back in your old ways as Christians. Try to get you to go back to your old vices as Christians. Has he ever done that? Amen. But you know what? You're going to stay, you're going to move forward in God. You're going to stay starward in God. You're not going to back off. You're not going to back out. You're going to keep pressing in to the things of God. Somebody say, I'm going to keep pressing in. See, I'm going to keep you preaching today with me. Amen. So the wrong path that people choose reveals a lack of love they have for God and the lack of understanding of God's love for them. Let me say that again. This is a powerful this is powerful what I'm saying here. When we go off the path of righteousness in the path of unrighteousness, it's the lack of love that we have for God, but really it's a lack of understanding of God's love for us. Because if you know how much God loves you and how much He wants to bless your life, you will stay on that righteous path. If you understand that God wants to bless your socks off, ladies, your stockings off, amen? If you understand how much God wants to bless you, you will stay in that righteous path of serving God. You won't get off that path. Amen. Sometimes we, at times, I felt this at times in my life where I wanted to quit. Have you ever felt like quitting in here? Have you ever felt like throwing in the towel and saying, that's it, I'm done, it's over? Listen, Job could have quit. Job was in a bad place. Job was attacked by the devil in his health and his finances. And even his wife said, why don't you curse God and die? She was a great encourager to Job. Amen. A great encourager. Just curse God and die. No. That's the exact. You need to do the opposite. Praise God and live. Don't curse God and die. But the devil will try to get you to curse your circumstances, to curse the people in your life that's trying to love on you, to curse God. And I'm not going to do that. No, I'm going to praise God anyway. If it hair lips the devil, whatever that means. I heard a preacher say that one time. If it hair lips the devil, whatever that means. It just sounds good for the sermon. Glory to God. Amen. So we need to, glory to God. We don't want to walk in the paths of unrighteousness. What are those paths of unrighteousness, you might ask? In Psalms 1:1, it says, bless the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stand in the path of sinners, nor sit in the seat of the scornful. Amen? In other words, let's read the Amplified. Blessed, fortunate, prosperous, and favored by God is a man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, following their advice and their example. So we're not trying to get advice and example from the psychologists out there on TV. Are you hearing what I'm saying today? No, we get our wisdom from the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. We're not trying to follow Dr. Phil. I'm not against Dr. Phil, Dr. Feelgood, or whatever, these psychologists on TV. I'm not against that. Amen. But I'm for the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. Amen. And you know what? One conversation with the Holy Spirit can do more than 5 years in therapy. Are you hearing what I'm saying to you today? He says here, nor stand in the path of sinners. That means we're hanging out with sinners. Nor sit down and rest in the seat of the scoffers or the ridiculers. And we don't mock God. I'm telling you, those that mock God will be in trouble. We're not God mockers. Amen. And then the blessings. Now, what is the blessing of walking in the path of godliness? It says in Psalms 2 and 3, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night, and he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bring forth its fruits in his season, whose leaves shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. I don't know about you, but I want prosperity in my life. And prosperity is more than just having a lot of money. Prosperity is being whole in every area of our lives. It's walking in the peace of God and not worrying about things. Amen? Because you can have money and still be worried. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's a lot of wealthy people that are afraid they're going to lose all their money because their faith and trust is in their money, but your faith and trust has to be in God. Amen. I like what it says in Proverbs 4:18, but the path of the just is like a shining sun that shines ever brighter into the perfect day. You know what that's saying to me? That's saying that you're getting brighter every day we get closer to seeing Jesus. You are shining stars for the Lord. Amen? Somebody say, I'm getting brighter. Amen. Say it with a smile on your face. Glory to God. Amen. I'm getting brighter. Amen. And the key to walking in righteousness in the past every day is to start your day really with the Word of God and prayer. If you're gonna take the path of righteousness, you need to start when you first get up, grab your Bible. Read some Word. Amen. Get some prayer going. Amen. In other words, start your day off. Amen. Why? Because temptations will hit you during the day. And Jesus said in Matthew 26, 41, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. What am I saying? The devil's trying to get us on some of us on the path of unrighteousness through temptation. Have you ever been there? Amen. But if you start your day off with the word, with prayer, maybe watching one of my videos. Well, I just thought I'd throw that in there. Maybe, you know, getting some word in you, glory to God. It will keep you from moving in the path of destruction. I call it the primrose path of destruction. Why do I call it that way? Because it looks good. You got roses, but it's a cliff. You're headed towards a cliff, amen, where you don't want to go, amen. Number three, if we're going to walk in godly wisdom, we must use words of wisdom, amen. Words, somebody say words of wisdom. In Proverbs 14:3, it says, in the mouth of the foolish is a rod of pride, but the lips of the wise shall preserve them. Notice that? So in the New Living Translation, it says this way, a fool's proud talk becomes a rod that beats him, but the words of the wise will keep them safe. That's powerful. So the foolish person speaks prideful words and will come back and bite them, eventually do them harm. Have you ever boasted about what you're going to do, but you never followed through on it? Maybe you messed up and said, I'm never going back there again. You were boasting in your own strength. You, instead of getting God involved, say, God, please help me never to go there again. You say, I'm making a decree. I will never do that again. And you find yourself doing it. Why? Because you're boasting in your own strength. And you need to boast in God's strength. It's His power. You got to go on God power. Holy Spirit power will always overcome willpower. Do you believe that today? So the foolish person speaks prideful words that will come back and bite them, eventually to harm them. We need to be very careful in the words that we say on a day-to-day basis. We want to be wise and think before we speak. Using right words will protect our lives and keep us safe. We should be praying prayers like this every day. In Psalms 19:14, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. So in other words, there's a saying, loose lips sink ships. Have you ever heard that before? Loose lips sink ships. You got to be careful. You got to think before you speak. I'm going to say it again. We need to think before we speak. The Bible says the fool just says whatever comes to his mind. But the wise holds back his feelings. So we don't want to be foolish and just speak whatever is coming to our feelings. Because I'm telling you, I've said things that and I had to repent of them. Have you ever said anything that you needed to repent of? Say, Lord, I'm sorry. I said that. I didn't really mean it. It was just coming by emotions and feelings. Amen. And in Proverbs 18:29, we all know this verse. Death and life are in the power of tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. So you are a product of your words. You are a product of really where you're at, what you're doing today, is what you spoke yesterday. And you need to be speaking positive words of affirmation every day out of your mouth. In other words, it's going to get better. It might look bad in your circumstance today, but believe that it's going to get better. I know the plans that I have for you, and they're good plans, says the Lord. It has to get better. I'm believing it's getting, look at your neighbor and say, it's getting better. Because God works out all things for good to those that love Him and called according to His purposes. He's working it out. Somebody say, well, how's that problem? God's working it out. How's that issue? God's working it out. God's taking care of it. I'm casting my cares on the Lord. I'm not worrying about it. I'm not taking a care. Glory to God. Some of you might, when all the stress comes, take a nap. Glory to God, like Jesus when He went on that boat. Amen. In James 3, 1 and 2, sometimes you just need to take a power nap. You're just tired. That's why your feelings and emotions are going bonkers. You just need to take a power nap, a siesta. A siesta. Glory, that's for all my Spanish friends out there. Glory to God. In James 3, 1 and 2, it says, my brethren, James talks about words. He says, my brethren, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that we shall receive a stricter judgment. Now you're probably saying to yourself, I'm glad I'm not the pastor. Glory to God. For we shall stumble in many things. If anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect man, also able to bridle his whole body. So James is saying that being teachers that we're held to a higher accountability. But I'm going to say this, even though I'm a pastor and I'm a teacher and I might be held to a higher accountability, I'm going to get a greater reward. Amen. I'm going to get a pastor's crown. Glory to God. Amen. And so, but see, I'm going to say this, that you're teachers too. Each one of you, if you're a parent, you're a teacher. So you're going to be held to strict, you know, judgment as well. You're going to have to train your children up in the admonition of the Lord. Glory to God. So you're called to be a teacher. You may not be on a platform preaching to a group of people, but you're still a teacher, so you haven't gotten out of it. Glory to God. You realize that, whoo, I'm not the pastor. Glory to God. So you're held to higher accountability. So he says that if we don't stumble in word, we can control our entire bodies. Do you believe that today? So our bodies will react positively or negatively to the words that we speak over them. We must learn to use our words of wisdom to speak out of our mouths over our bodies and over people's lives. Sometimes when you're feeling overwhelmed in circumstance life, you speak your feelings of unbelief and doubt. And I'm not going to do that. I'm going to speak out of my mouth, and I'm going to speak that God's working in my life. Amen? You know, Jesus overcame in the wilderness when he said, it is written. That's how Jesus overcome. And how are you going to overcome in your wilderness? You're going to have to get some Bible scriptures. You're going to have to get some Bible scriptures. You might have to write them down. And then you need to pull them out. Amen? You know, like a Hong Kong Phooey. Anybody used to watch that cartoon? Well, he knew karate, but he always had to get his book out to learn how to fight. Amen? Well, you might need a Hong Kong Phooey, number one super guy or something like that. But anyway, you might know, if I'm dating myself, glory to God, that used to be my favorite cartoon. Hallelujah, Hong Kong Phooey. Amen? He was always pulling out his book on how to do that. You might need to pull out the Bible. Whenever the pressures of life come in you, amen? You might need to pull out the Word of God. And Jesus said, man shall not live by bread alone, Matthew 4, 4, but every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. In other words, your mouth belongs to God. And if your word is the Word of God coming out, then that's how you're living, by every word of God. Amen? And we speak God's word out of our mouth to come back the negative feelings that we're dealing with. You may not feel like that you have it up to snuff to do what God's calling you to do. But if you don't feel like it, don't go by feelings. Go with the word of God. In Philippians 4:13, it says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Say that out loud. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. That means you're up for the task. You can do it. You have the power and the ability of God working in your lives. Amen? You can do whatever God calls you to do. In James 3 and 4, it says, indeed, we put bits in the horse's mouth that they may obey us, and we turn our whole body. Look at the ships. Although they are large and driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. So our tongue is like the bit that controls a powerful horse, or like a rudder that directs a ship. So your tongue, really, where your tongue goes, your body follows. I'm going to say that again. Where your tongue goes. In other words, your words are the roadmap of your lives. Somebody say, my words are the roadmap of my life. Amen? And we want to make sure we're speaking the right words. And it says here in James 3:5, even so the tongue is a little member, boasts great things, so how great a forest and a little fire kindles. So a foolish person boasts in what they can do apart from God. A wise person boasts about what they can do in God. See, you're not by yourself. You got God working on the inside of you. And whatever you are encountering, whatever the project might be, and it might be a difficult project, God can help you. Do you believe that today? Say, God's helping me. You know, there's a story about two men, one that fell and one that was promoted. And it was all about their words. And this is in 1 Samuel 17. And this is the story of David and Goliath. How many people like the story of David and Goliath out here? Because David was fighting a battle that he shouldn't have won. In other words, Goliath had it all together. Let me just read to you a little bit of account of this. In 1 Samuel 17:4, it says, a champion went out from the camp of the Philistines named Goliath from Gath, whose height was 6 cubits and a span. He had, well, what does that mean? I think that means about 9 or 10 feet tall. He was a big man. Amen. I like to say the bigger they are, the harder they fall. Amen. Because it's not the size of a man in a fight, it's the size of the fight in the man. I'm going to say it again. It's not the size of a man in a fight. It is the size of a fight in the man. Do I have any fighters in the house today? Do I have any freedom fighters in the house today? You're going to fight for your freedom. And he said he had a bronze helmet on his head. He was armed with a coat of mail. It weighed, the coat was 5,000 shekels of bronze. He had a bronze armor on his legs and bronze javelin between his shoulders. Now the staff of his spear was like a weaver's beam. His iron spearhead weighed 600 shekels, and the shield bearer went before him. So this guy had it all. Think about this. And he had a shield. He had somebody that went before him. Glory to God. I was thinking with all that weight on him, he wouldn't be able to move. He would be slow. Amen. You know, big people are slow. Amen. And then he says here, glory to God. Amen. Hallelujah. You know, because you got gravity working against you. Amen. You got gravity working against you. So he stood and cried out to the armies of Israel and said to them, why have you come out to line up for the battle? Am I not a Philistine and you are the servants of Saul? Choose a man for yourself and let him come down to me. If he's able to fight with me and kill me, then we will be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then you shall be our servants and serve us. And the Philistines said and defied the armies of Israel this day, give me a man that we may fight together. And then there was a reward. You know that Saul was giving a reward out to somebody that would fight Goliath, and nobody was taking Saul up on the reward. And the reward was, you know, I don't know, maybe his daughter wasn't too pretty, but was to give his daughter away in marriage. I don't know what was going on there. Amen. You got the daughter in marriage, you got no taxes, and you got wealth. I'm telling you, that's a good deal. David knew that he was anointed, that he was going to be the next king. You know what he was probably thinking? That's my way into kingship. You know, that's my way in. I'm anointed already to be the next king. I'm going to be like Saul's son, and I'm going to go ahead and win the prize. We should all be running for the reward. You should always be seeking for the rewards and the blessing. That well done, thy good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your Lord. We should be all running for the reward. Are you running for the reward? That blessed hope, glory to God. That well done, thy good and faithful servant. And David said to Saul in 1 Samuel 17:32, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. Then David, in verse 40, then David took his staff in his hand and chose for himself 5 smooth stones from the brook, put them in a shepherd's bag in the pouch which he had, and his sling was in his hand, and he drew near to the Philistine. And then in verse 43, it says, so then the Philistine said to David, am I a dog that you come to me with sticks? And the Philistine cursed David by his gods. And the Philistine said to David, come to me, and I will give your flesh to the birds of the air and the beasts of the field. See, this Philistine may have had it all together. He might have been trained as a youth. He knows how to fight. He could box better than the best boxers in town. He was the ultimate MMA fighter. But even though he may have had all that going for him, he didn't have God. Amen. And there might be things that might be coming against you. The devil might be working against your life, but you know what? You got God working for you. And if God's for you, it doesn't matter who's against you. You got to believe that today. Then David said to the Philistine, when the devil's speaking smack to you, you better speak back to the devil. And David said to the Philistine, you come to me with a sword, with a spear, and with a javelin, but I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of armies of Israel. Notice what he said. I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts and the armies of Israel, God of armies of Israel, whom you have defied this day. The Lord will deliver you. Notice this. He says, this day the Lord will deliver you into my hand, and I will strike you and take your head from you. And this day I'll give the carcass, give the carcasses of the camp of the Philistines to the birds of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. Then all this assembly shall know that the Lord does not save with sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into my hand. Somebody say, the battle's the Lord's, and the victory's mine. And we know that David taught us how to get ahead in life, because he took the stone, slung it, and it went deep into Goliath's forehead, and then he cut Goliath's head off with his own sword. Glory to God. Amen. The devil may boast proud and might have some things going on, but God is greater than the devil that's coming against your lives. The battle's the Lord's, and the victory is ours. Goliath boasts in what he could do. David boasts in what God could do through him. See, when you're dealing with impossibilities, you might need to break out your book, you know, your Hong Kong Fooey book, the Bible. And you might want to confess a scripture. Brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. You might need to confess, I'm strong in the Lord. And in the power of his might, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Glory to God. So to recap on this message, if you're going to walk out of foolishness into wisdom, you must redeem the time, make the most of your days. You must build a godly foundation opposed to worldly foundation. You must choose godly paths to walk in instead of crooked paths. And you must use words of wisdom every day to architect your lives for the plans and the purposes of God for you. And when you take these keys, you'll walk in wisdom, and there will be no more foolishness in your lives. Did you receive it this morning? Glory to God. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Father, I thank you that you're bringing us to the next level. I thank you, Lord God, that we are walking out of foolishness and we're walking in your wisdom. And we thank you, Lord God, that you are our wisdom and you're helping us to navigate our lives every day. And perhaps you're listening or watching and you never made Jesus the Lord of your life. Well, the Bible says today is a day of salvation. In other words, if you sense God drawing you today, don't put God off. The foolish person puts God off, but the wise person receives what God has for them today. So if that's you today, I want you to confess the Lordship of Jesus Christ and just mean in your heart, say, dear God, I believe Jesus died on the cross for my sins. I believe Jesus was raised from the dead to save me. Jesus, I receive you as my Lord and my Savior. Thank you for saving me. And Heavenly Father, fill me with your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that for the first time, we believe you got born again. Stay connected with Exceed Life Church But if you're here locally, come out, be a part of Exceed Life Church. We'd love for you to be a part of the church congregation. If you're not here locally, join a local church that will help you grow in faith and continue to watch us. We'll be here next week at the same time. God bless you and have a great week. Amen.
We thank you for listening to this message. For more information, visit us at exceedlifechurch.org.